有故事的声音 Show Podcast。
战争带走一个又一个无辜生命，
战争却带不走一场又一场连夜噩梦。
对幸存者来讲，是绝望终结，亦或是重新开始？
Hello, I am Andre。
二战纳粹集中营幸存者安德烈·伊凡诺维奇，他的真实否白。
Show Radio, Show Podcast, 生命专访特辑。
安德烈，不再遗憾的路程。
主持李家豪。
欢迎来到今天的特别节目《安德烈不再遗憾的路程》，我是李家豪。今天我们将会深入探讨97岁的 Andrei Ivanovich 安德烈他特别人生的故事。他就是纳粹集中营的幸存者来的。今天我们也请到这个关于 Andrei 这个纪录片叫做《是的安德烈》的这套纪录片的导演 Hannes Farlock 来到我们的直播室的。因为他也拍了这套纪录片是关于安德烈的一生的。在今天我们邀请两位加入讨论的时候，一起探索一下安德烈在二战期间经历的惊心动魄的故事，在集中营里面的经历，还有他那份在面对着逆境难以想象的时候他那份的坚忍，尤其是由他在乌克兰开始的童年集中营的时光，到他找到生命当中的希望和意义，经历了什么呢？他的故事都是见证着人类的精神的。
Welcome to today's special, where we delve into the remarkable story of Andrei Ivanovich, a 97-year-old survivor of Buchenwald concentration camp. We're also joined by Hannes Farlock, the director of the documentary Ya Andrei Ivanovich about Andrei's life. Get ready as we explore Andrei's harrowing experiences during the Second World War and his resilience in the face of unimaginable adversity.From his childhood in Ukraine to his time in the concentration camp and his journey to find hope and meaning in life. Andrei's story is a testament to the human spirit. Also, in the next half, as we hear from Hannes, we'll also get a glimpse into the making of the documentary and the impact it has on those who have seen it.So sit back and get ready for a memorable episode that will leave you with a newfound appreciation for life and strength of the human spirit. Andrei and Hannes are both now in our Hong Kong studio. Hello, Andrei. Hello, Hannes. Welcome for joining us.
Hello.
Hello, Andrei.
Hello.
Thank
Hello.
you.
Wow, it's first English word I ever heard.
First English, fantastic, fantastic to have you joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having us. Ngoi.
Our great pleasure. 咁要同聽眾解釋一下先，因為咧 ，Andrei 咧佢係講係俄文嘅，咁佢嚟自白俄羅斯啦，而家住喺 Minsk。咁咧，阿 Hannes 咧會幫佢翻譯一下嘅。So Hannes, I forgot to mention to audience that is kindly interpreting for us because both of them speak Russian, and of course, thank you Hannes for interpreting for us。即係首先咧，就問一問阿 Andrei 先啦。Andrei 你就唔係猶太人啦，咁但係點解你最初係被關喺納粹嘅集中營咧 ，Andrei？How did you end up being sent to the Nazi concentration camp in the first place?
Ah, как в Германию попал на Украине в Черниговск.
So basically, I was born in Ukraine, Chernigovsky region. It's northern Ukraine, and when I was like around 14, 15, that was in 1942 when the Germans invaded Ukraine.The Germans took a lot of adults, but not only, also minors, into Germany where they were working as forced laborers. And this is when they caught me, basically, just put me on a train into Germany, and then this whole catastrophe started.
Hannes 啱啱提到咧，阿 Andre 所讲咧就系阿 Andre 咧就喺乌克兰嘅北部出世嘅。当佢喺十四五岁嘅时候咧，喺1942年咧，咁啊德国咧就入侵乌克兰啦。咁所以咧，佢当时咧就系嗰个嘅大环境咧，就无论系大人啊，即系细路啊，咁佢都系主要系大人啦、啊，捉咗德国咧就希望咧就系做呢个嘅 forced labor 苦工啊。咁所以咧，阿 Andre 咧就系一齐上咗呢个列车，咁啊开始咧做苦工，咁啊去到德国嗰度嘅。So, a follow-up, I'm just curious. He started as a forced labor, but what happened that ended up having Andre being in the Nazi concentration camp?
嗰陣時呢 ,Andre, 佢唔係猶太人啦，咁佢做苦工啦，被拉咗去做苦工啦，咁但係都冇理由走咗去集中營㗎，點解會送咗去納粹嘅集中營，當中係發生咗啲咩事呢？
納粹官姐 ,Maladios, Rabot,
So basically, he was, firstly, brought into Leipzig. It's a bit of a free translation because, of course, we are
of
doing
course.
this since、
yeah.
many years, so I can compliment a bit. And he was working in an ammunition factory, Hasag, one of the biggest ammunition factories actually for the German Wehrmacht,、for the German army.、and there were a lot of adults working and、a few minors. And the adults were working on machinery that produced ammunitions, right?、
Mm.
Small ones, big ones.、and there was...As time went by, a lot of acts of sabotage.、
Mm.
And as the miners were always like more responsible for cleaning up the space, actually they were suspected of kind of sabotaging the machinery,、
ah.
putting sand into the machinery, whatever, right?
Right.
And he, amongst the miners, was one of the eldest. And that's,、mm. They were all interrogated by the military police.And for some reason, and he has no idea why, because he was working in a warehouse back then, he was suspected to be spearheading this conspiracy. And、mm. without any further comment, he ended basically up、in a prison. And,、well, he will tell us now, but from this prison, basically, he was then further sent into the concentration camp.、and as he got to know later, actually, all the other miners that were interrogated with him,They were also sent to the camp, and none of them actually survived.
Oh, okay. Andre, but others were also sent to the camp, but although he was the only one.
Yeah, exactly. And basically、
survived.
Now he's, I mean, of course he's asked very often, why have you been sent to the camp, right?
Yeah, was there ever an official reason?
No, and he has no answer because like、some 20 years ago,There was a memorial complex、being established、at the site of the former camp, yeah,、close to the city of Weimar.、
Mm.
By the way, the birthplace of our greatest writer of all times, Goethe. So you、mm-hmm. see how the good things in history with the most tragic、chapters actually collide.、and he was able to access the archives.
Ah, so he tried to find out.
Extensively.Yeah,、mm. and there were historians in this memorial site who helped facilitating that, right? That's what they do, and he's traveling there every year, but they could not find any evidence、why. I mean,、
wow.
they could find evidence that he was brought to the military prison, that he was sent to Buchenwald, but the reason、
right.
is just a suspicion that he has, right?
Right, as we should have...
Never been outlined.
Right.、
Yeah.
So as we should have guessed, given Andre's curiosity, he did actually made an effort.
He, exactly.
Wow. But of course, as you shared with us, Hannes, just now, to this date, there was no definite answer from the archives.
Exactly. So there is different archives. There's one in Leipzig, there's one in this military prison, and there's、
right.
one in Buchenwald.But there is no exact,
wow,
doesn't tell you the reason.
I got to interpret this to our audience.
But what he also says very often is, I mean, of course, people were thrown into these、camps without any reason, right?
True,
so,
true, true.
It was just like some
wow.
Makeups.
No, this expanded our understanding from standard history books. But wow, I got to explain that to the audience. That's、quite a story. 剛才問回個問題就是為什麼 Andre...明明又唔係猶太人，亦都唔係話即係傳統，我哋覺得係會關喺集中營嘅。點解佢會送咗去集中營呢？咁你提到咧，佢最初去到 Leipzig 嘅時候咧，咁嗰度其實佢係負責咧係一個嘅幫納粹德國係做武器嘅工廠，係做嗰啲軍事用品、軍事武器。咁主要係大人做啦嚇。咁啊，當時 Andre 細個嚇，咁啊主要係做啲所謂嘅 cleaning up 啊，即係話去清潔啊，喺個軍事武器廠嗰度做打掃嘅啫咁。咁但係因為咧喺嗰段時間咧，咁呢班細蚊。 蚊仔咧，佢就比較係大嗰、那個。當時工廠管理人員就發現咧，咦，機器咧就成日都有毀壞嘅情況喎、哦。咁點解會有毀壞咧？係咪有人搞破壞咧？咁邊個搞破壞咧？咁就懷疑咧，就係呢一班細路。咁 Andre 係嗰班細路最大嘅一個，咁所以咧就係、是、去盤問佢，去質問佢。咁所以咧一質問嘅時候咧，佢哋就對佢好有懷疑，就覺得佢係有份搞破壞嘅。咁所以咧就。拉咗佢集中营啊！咁啊，唔单止佢嘅，原来咧其他嗰班细蚊仔咧都系有送去集中营嘅。不过佢系唯一一个系生存，其他个都死晒咁样啊，都系喺集中营里面咧系遇害啊咁样。咁所以咧到今时今日咧，佢都想揾出个原因。首先佢系送咗去个 prison 吓一个监狱度先嘅，咁之后先送去集中营。咁佢喺战后咧，头先 Hannes 都提到啦，佢话其实佢都好想揾出个原因吓，去咗好多唔同嘅档案馆，揾出点解有冇啲文件讲出个原因，点解佢系。由这个监狱送去集中营呢，因为他本身不是一个原本是他被要去送去集中营那批，但是生命那种的讽刺就是他最后就送去集中营，想找出个原因，到今天都找不到个原因的、啊、即不过他也解释了当时很多纳粹的集中营都是有时不一定有理由的、啊、盯上你不顺眼那都可以捉了去集中营的。不过我想问一下、Andre 呢，就是我好奇啫，咁其實佢有冇知情邊啲人係去破壞呢啲嘅整武器嘅機器呢，定係佢係咪有份呢？ Okay, before we move on, I'm just very curious. Did Andre know at all who actually were sabotaging, or was he in fact involved?
Yeah, what makes it even more weird is that basically he didn't really work in the factory itself, but he worked in the adjacent warehouse. Where he was basically working together with an old German guy, basically being responsible for giving out materials and supplies for the factory, and that's why he really has no idea. Once he told me that, of course, they were living in the outskirts of Leipzig, also in a kind of a camp, basically, which was very much alike, also in terms of like how they were. Basically fed and how the conditions were. So in the morning they were brought to the work, and in the evening back to the camp. And of course in the camp they were gathered, the young people, and maybe there he was basically seen as maybe influencing these kind of minors that would then go in this factory and do some sabotage. But that's just assumptions, you know.
Right.
Because he has never basically physically been there, and that makes it even more strange, right?
As to the
accusations.
Wow.
Basically, that's what he says. Even like for lunch breaks, the miners came also to his warehouse, so there was some contact, and maybe that's why they suspected him instigating some kind of sabotage.
Wow. As you say, that's even more weird, because the evidence were not at all concrete, or, you know, that were ever presented. It's always based on assumptions.
Yeah, and I mean, there is all these anecdotes which you know from films, but they are basically real. He tells when they had this interrogation, basically, there was this SS guy sitting in front of him, and he was also trying to provoke him because he put his pistol on the table in front of him, giving him like the opportunity to grasp it and maybe try to flee. But of course, there was no no bullets in it. But of course, he didn't react to this kind of provocation. But there was all kind of things where they tried to make something up, basically.
Right. Wow, what a story as well about the pistol. Okay, let me explain a little bit to our audience. 好奇怪，即系点解佢会系送咗去集中营？咁而佢系咪真系有煽动嗰啲人去毁坏纳粹武器工厂、毁坏啲机器咧？嗰啲个就系一个好 weird、好奇怪嘅地方啦。因为咧，佢就本身唔系喺嗰个武器工厂做嘢添嘅，佢只系喺嗰个武器工厂隔离嗰个 warehouse 储存库嗰度咧工作嘅啫，咁只不过咧系有时咧可能平时生活上啊等等啊，系同一班较细嘅喺工厂工作嘅细路咧会成日打成一片，咁所以咧佢就被视为咧系有影响到吓，或者咧系教唆咧呢啲嘅细路咧就去毁坏啲机器，当然系冇证据啦。咁特别咧，阿 Hannes 都提到咧，佢话咦有一次咧，阿 Andre 咧其实系被去单独啊去。去 问话嘅时候咧，嗰、那个嘅军官咧直情将一把枪啊摆喺台面度，睇下佢试下佢，其实应该冇子弹嘅，不过测试下佢会唔会想报复，会唔会咧阿 Andre 会攞起支枪咧咁，咁但系都冇嘅其实。But anyway， 事实就系话咧，搞嚟搞去咁都系煮死唔到佢嘅时候咧，最终都系将咧 Andre 咧系送去集中营。咁呢个真系好生命嗰种讽刺同埋无辜啦吓。咁讲到入到去集中营啦，想问一下阿 Andre 咧，就系话有冇喺集中营一啲最困难嘅时候，想同我哋可以讲一讲咧，同埋佢点解可以幸存到落嚟咧 ？So moving on to the camp, Andre, can you share with us the most difficult moment you had in the concentration camp and how you managed to survive it?
So he's just describing it now for you guys. Basically, they lived in barracks. You have maybe seen them, wooden barracks, very, very big, but they hosted like around 1,500 people. So being very squeezed, one big corridor in the middle, to the left, to the right, beds on four layers, on each of the layers, 10 to 15 people. So you can imagine it was super squeezed. And what he says, there is not one moment, it was just very, very difficult, during the whole time. And as in the factory, there were amongst this 1,500 people, around 5, 6, 7 miners. Yeah. And, they also had to do more of this like kind of,cleanup work, but also at times they were brought like the adults to the stone quarries, where they basically needed to work and put up big stones and carry them long distances. And there was always a danger that you would be beaten up and that you would be killed. Food was almost non-existent. Like in the morning, they get a little bit of soup. During the day, nothing. In the evening, again, a little bit of soup. And that was pretty difficult. And there was another distinction between those prisoners who were from the Soviet Union, which were actually marked by the Germans with the R, like Russe, Russian, and all the others, because the European prisoners, of course, they all had a bad time, but the European prisoners were able to get care packages, actually, from the International Red Cross. Okay.And the Russians, or the Soviet citizens, right? It was like 15 countries, but they were entitled as Russians. They didn't. And that's also why when you see pictures these days from Buchenwald, when it was liberated, they look all very miserable. But there is still a little bit of a difference between those marked with an R and the other ones.
Uh-huh.Okay, let me just...
Okay, okay.
Right, so 剛剛呢Andre 就話呢，即係因為呢佢喺個集中營裏面呢都係一啲住喺一啲木製嗰啲佢先叫做 barrack 呢，好擠迫好擠迫，咁千人呢塞晒喺裏面，咁生活條件當然係好差啦，譬如食又冇啖好食，同埋呢即係講緊可能係冇晏晝嘅，即係早與晚呢都係可能少少嘅湯，咁當然呢亦都好多人係營養不良咁餓死啦。咁不過呢佢話呢，如果係咁嘅情況下咧，佢哋歐洲嘅 prisoner 咧，咁佢有紅十字會一啲嘅一配套咧，咁佢可以有少少嘅椰菜啊等等啦，即係好少少嘅嗰個待遇。但如果好似阿 Andre 係一啲即係俄國嘅一個被運嘅人咧，咁佢哋咧待遇係更加差嘅，即係唔好當中仲更加差。咁所以咧，阿 Hannes 佢都提到啦，喺集中營裏面咧，如果你個 R 啦，即係你係俄國人咧，咁佢就更加慘嘅。咁甚至乎咧被打毒打，有可能被打死嗰、那個。个嘅危险嘅，咁啊 ，Hannes 好，佢再问一问咧，喺头先我想问到系一个最困难，即系生活就艰苦啦，有冇一个好最困难，差唔多系最绝望或者谂过自杀嘅一个咁嘅经历咧 ？Maybe I follow up a little bit, and thanks Hannes also for following up with Andre for the fact that while we know the conditions were very poor, difficult, challenging, despairing, did Andre ever thought of giving up, contemplating suicide with a despairing moment? So first of all, if he had to really pick one, any such most despairing moment that he could recollect?
Yeah, I will ask him now. I just make two other comments regarding your previous question, because this is also important. So what made it also difficult is that two aspects. Yeah. So every evening they needed to gather on the roll call square, basically, right? Didn't matter, like...is it warm or cold or whatever, and they needed to count, yeah, the people who lived in the barracks, basically. And if let's say one person out of 1,500 people was absent, they needed to wait until the figure was correct, right? They stood there for several hours in a bitter winter, whatever. And then and another thing he remembers that at times in the evening there was SS people coming into the barracks when everybody was already sleeping, and they were calling out random numbers because every prison had a number. And they were calling like 2, 3, 4, 5 people, and they didn't know why. And later he got to know actually that basically they needed more supplies for the crematory, because the crematory was basically needed to run 24/7. The crematory was basically based within the camp, so they could see actually, right, like the smoke of the chimneys,
right.
And that was also something very severe. But what he also says is that there was at least some solidarity in the camp, so the adults, in a way, try to protect the minors. So, for instance, like one thing you can imagine, when they were basically passing through the gate, a lot of people, the SS guys, they used to poach them and to beat them with their sticks, which could be really detrimental and actually deadly. And he remembers that he was always being pushed down by the adults, so he was never really beaten up. So that speaks also a little bit about how the adults try to protect the minors. But I will ask him now your question.
Yeah, actually, and right? In the meantime, thank you so much for adding. Wow, what illustrative details. Even just listening gave me goosebumps. And I will explain to the audience. 剛剛 Hannes 就提到啦，即係喺個集中營裏面，頭先講一啲係大浪嘅情況，但係實質上喺生活上係會遇到啲咩嘢嘅難題咧？講緊生活嘅日常啊，即係譬如佢話佢每晚咧有個square咧喺個廣場裏面咧，咁所有嘅幸存者無論係幾熱幾凍都會嗌佢哋，咁就列曬隊喺個廣場嗰度咧，就係。 係要點人數啊，點人頭啊！咁如果一個哪怕唔見咗一個啫，無論係幾凍都好，都係咧冰天雪地都好，咁都要係揾到嗰一個人唔見咗嗰個人出嚟為止，因為佢要數人頭咧，確保咧係冇人係逃走啊等等。當然啦，大難臨頭啦，如果有人有一個唔見咗或者即係行開咗嘅話，咁所以咧呢個係一個每日啊每晚啊都係一個日常嚟嘅。咁同埋咧，佢有時夜晚瞓瞓下覺咧，啲SS咧都會嗌佢哋個號碼。 做咩呢？咁當然咧，有時就唔夠人啦，喺呢個嘅焚屍爐嗰度嚇，咁所以經常咧都係要額外嘅人手等等啦。咁特別提到咧，就係話列隊啊，有時佢哋列隊行嘅時候咧，嗰啲嘅 SS 啊，或者啲士兵啊，嗰啲納粹軍咧會攞住啲棍咧，失驚無神咁一拗，其實或者拗個頭啊，咁其實咧就好慘，你可能會即刻瞓低啊，或者一個好慘痛嘅經歷。咁但係佢哋啲大人又好保護啲小朋友嘅，咁佢係嗰時比較細。 發覺啲大人咧，有時會撳住佢哋，唔俾佢哋咧，即係保護佢哋啊，push 佢哋中間按一按低佢哋咧，等佢哋唔好被打。所以啲大人咧都會好保護佢哋比較細嘅人啊，免佢哋咧係被傷害啊，被殴啊，俾納粹德軍殴啊咁。呢啲都係佢哋嘅生活嘅日常。
Мне лично, как и любой молодежи, это
So basically, says yeah. I mean, one aspect was that the adults were helping the minors in a way. Also, he remembers when he was like basically escaping from his barracks and wandering around the territory, especially to those barracks where the Europeans were, and they would at times hand out a small, thinly smeared piece of bread with a little bit of butter. And his explanation is just attempts to explain. It's like, I mean, the adults, in a way, for them it was more difficult. They were more segregated. They were not sticking together. And they were already kind of traumatized. And for the children, of course, it was difficult, but their psychological state of mind was, although it was super, super difficult, was kind of more adaptive in a way. But he says, basically now when he's thinking about it, it's so difficult, you cannot describe it even in words, you cannot describe it audiovisually. It's just, he says, this is something that you need to experience, hopefully not experience, but it was so horrible, and all the people that were there, they were just also poor in their mental state of mind, so he cannot now even try to recall it. It's very painful.
咁啊，頭先咧提到話咧，集中營裏面咧嗰個嘅生活啊，即係回想翻起都好困難，因為咧回憶係歷歷在目嘅。譬如咧，佢會嘗試去一啲，因為佢係頭先講過咧，因為佢身為俄國嘅嗰批 camp 裏面嘅被關嘅人咧，佢哋嘅生活咧比起其他歐洲被關起嘅係有啲待遇有啲唔同嘅，所以有時佢會嘗試去挨近歐洲嗰邊被關嘅 camp 裏面嘅人咧，就去可以。 攞少少佢哋俾分派麵包啊牛油，佢哋都唔係攞得多，不過有時佢都會分少少俾佢哋啊咁樣。咁話特別咧係大人啊，佢調翻轉佢反而大人個生活仲慘啲。大人因為佢哋係分隔得好開啊，即係佢話細路咧都仲可以話挨近啲，即係大家嗰種有啲嘅支持。佢話心理上咧，佢話調翻轉，佢都有啲差異。心理上咧反而係佢哋咧適應得係細個嗰批比大人咧可能係適應得仲可能係好的咁多添嘅。因為大人嗰個佢哋面對嘅係仲困難，佢話咧完全好難用文字用語言咧去表達嗰種嘅慘況。佢話直至到除非即係有機會即係親身喺裏面，你先至可以睇到即係嗰個感受到嗰份係言語形容唔到嗰份嘅悲慘咯。
When I came home in the afternoon, I unfortunately I had already became an orphan. There was a massacre. I had no family.
We had no opportunity to earn a living. I had no schooling. And there was a lot of propaganda demonstration against the Jews.
你对生命有咩睇法？
佢对生命有深刻嘅体会。
So Radio, So Podcast 为你呈现
生命专访特辑。
On the lead, 不再遗憾的路程。
首先我想问一问咧，就 Andre 咧有冇试过放弃过或者系谂过自杀咧 ？But even with these harrowing experiences, has he ever thought of giving up or trying to commit suicide？
Я думаю, никто ничего не
думал. We didn't think about it at all. Difficult to say because everything was so miserable, and basically we were in a state of mind and also physically in such a bad shape that we hardly basically could move around. And then on the other hand, you could be shot at any given time and your behavior also influenced on that. So if you would have had the plan, that could have been happened easily to be shot. And especially, I mean, as I described before, for the Russians, okay, but the worst situation actually was for the Jews. Because basically, for the Russians, they had their badge on their chest, and the Jews, they had the star on the chest and on the back. And they were basically treated even worse than all the others. And when they were walking, and let's say an SS guy didn't like the way in a group of prisoners, there was a Jew that could be from behind easily identified, then he was just shot. So there was no protection nowhere at any given point. So thinking about suicide in this kind of situation, he says nobody was really thinking about it.
Как я уже говорил и раньше, жизнь в Бухенвальде.
It's undescribable, and it's impossible to put it in words.
Wow. OK, 咁頭先咧 ，Hannes 同 Andre 特別提到咧，佢話冇啊，好難。佢喺嗰個情況去諗緊自殺或者與否。首先，即係身體上已經係好 bad shape 啊，即係佢話咧，即係身體已經差到係即係不得了啦嗰個嘅狀態。嗰陣時亦都唔係話去自殺啊輕生咁。尤其是見到佢身邊嘅人咧，其實佢嘅情況已經都仲叫好的多。因為佢如果係猶太人嘅話咧，佢嗰啲衫係唔同嘅，佢有個星咧喺嗰個衫嘅前面後面都會 identify。睇到你係猶太人啦，咁佢話如果啲 SS 啲納粹黨衛軍睇你唔順眼又好啊，覺得你唔中意你啊，咁攞啲槍咧就可以就殺你噶啦，咁所以咧佢哋嘅情況就仲更加惡劣，咁所以嗰下咧佢話形容唔到啊，形容唔到，亦都冇喺嗰個時候一個咁嘅狀態下諗死與唔死，連諗死與唔死嘅力都冇。While the situation was so in such despair, as you also described for Jews, is even much harrowing. How did you find hope then amidst such despair?
Как вы нашли тогда надежду в лагере?
在当中怎么找到希望呢？既然是这么惨的时候。
Initially, there was no hope at all, but starting from 1944, there were some prisoners who secretly kind of invented and constructed something that could actually receive radio. And they were basically following the development of the of the different fronts, and especially of the front in the east.
No one noticed that they were listening to the radio.
Well, apparently not. And basically, even the miners got to know about the current state of the different fronts, actually.
Ooh, wow. That.
But it was only from 44. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. And the news of the allies and their movements gave them hope.
Yes.
Okay.
So, and every time there was further news on the approaching front line, of course, hope basically increased.
Wow, okay, amazing. 咁頭先咧提到啦，阿 Andre 話1944年，特別1944年啊嚇，咁佢哋喺集中營裏面咧，其實咧佢哋係秘密地咧，佢哋係有一個嘅收音機啊。我哋真係好特別，而家講緊電台咧，電台收聽緊我哋嘅節目啊，就係1944年，乜嘢俾到佢希望可以堅持到而唔自殺，或者係抱住佢一絲嘅生存嘅意志咧？就因為他們存了一個收音機在裡面，他們是秘密的，秘密收聽1944年的他們盟軍，美國、其他盟軍、英軍，他們是越來越步步進逼，可能是會打贏仗的時候是這樣有希望的。他不單止他們大人，如果連他們比較小的那些，他們的小那些都其實很掌握到盟軍當時他們那個的訊息，而這樣是給了希望他們的，這樣他們就使他們是有這份生存的意志的。So I guess, amazingly, since we are in a radio show, it turns out the radio gave you the will to live and keep going. That's amazing. Can you?
It's true.
You shared with us a moment of kindness, that you experienced in the camp from the adults. Fast forward a little bit. After the war, how did you come to terms with what you had experienced? 即係話呢，戰後呢，你經歷過你所經歷嘅一切啦，點樣重新塑造到你对生活的睇法啦。How did the war you experienced in the war shape your outlook on life after the war?
Yeah, so basically, a thing that he's stressing is, and that lived on from the camp, was that even in the camp, there was tight friendships and ties between people, and that was one major factor of survival, and that basically also was an experience he kind of profited from after everything ended. So basically to be kind and to do no harm, which is one of his life principles, or became one of his life principles. And a very difficult shared experience, of course, in a way also unites people.
Right.
Точно так же, как боевая обстановка. Не знаешь, живешь ты сегодня, будешь ли жить завтра.
Yeah, it's like with extreme situations also in wars, right? When you don't know whether you survive until tomorrow or not.
Right. And Hannes, when I watch a documentary on Andre, one thing he stressed a lot also about friendships. That's also what he said of keeping him alive. Is that also something he drew?
I'm with him since 10 years. I know him since 10 years. And, well, a sad fact, actually, is that when we made this film, I got to know his lover, his best friend, his niece, his neighbor, and the people who is he learned German with, like the language group. And sadly, but truly, they are all dead now. Because life expectancy in Belarus is not like in Hong Kong. And this is really a big exception that he's like 98 years soon.
Yes.
And of course, he always maintained these relationships, but the older you get, the less people you have. So the only relative now that is left is basically a niece. And he still has a son, but he's an alcoholic. He seldomly sees him, actually. And I think there's a lot of wish for connection. But in this current life situation, it's difficult, and that's why when you would ask him, he's actually very happy that he could spend some time now in Hong Kong, actually almost 2 months, and that he's going soon now also to Germany.
He must be very difficult for someone who cares so much about friends, people around him, and as you say, that's why he's in Hong Kong, meet new friends, I guess.
Yeah, and he's quite successful in that, I have to say.
咁頭先咧講到話咧喺戰爭後啊，有冇啲乜嘢係塑造到佢對生活嘅睇法咧？咁頭先阿 Hannes 都提到咧，對阿 Andre 嚟講咧，生活最重要第一善良啦 ，be kind 善良。do no harm 即係話唔好傷害人啦，呢個係好重要好重要咧。佢嘅對生活嘅睇法，咁當然咧喺集中營裏面咧，佢哋可以保持住仲可以生存落嚟嗰份堅韌力，當然就係同人與人之間嗰份友誼啦。咁所以咧係咁樣可以喺個集中營裏面咧，仲可以 keep 到生存到，因為佢好珍視友誼。咁但係當然講到友誼，佢覺得係可以聯繫人、連結人啦。但係亦都一樣嘢咧係好可惜，因為咧嗱，阿 Andre 嗰個情況係97歲。迈向100岁，所以呢佢好珍视嘅友谊，好珍视嘅人与人之间关系，好多一路同佢同行嘅人都已经慢慢过身了。佢好锡嘅太太啦过咗身，佢太太过咗身之后即係一路走落嚟，咁后来识一位女朋友，连个女朋友就过咗身，大仔又死埋，咁佢有个细仔嘅，但个细仔呢就係迂走嘅，咁而好多朋友慢慢逐步逐步邻居都去世啦。所以一个咁珍视友谊、咁珍视人与人之间关系嘅人，其实佢都喺生命当中而家得翻自己一个嘅时候咧，咁啊 ，Hannes 就邀请佢嚟香港啦。咁香港佢又唯有识一啲新嘅朋友啦，系永远都有持续喺呢份嘅即系继续啊吓。咁呢个就系佢点样去塑造到佢对生活嘅睇法。咁啊，讲到安德烈，讲到 Andre 咧，佢个故事系好有坚韧啦，好有毅力啦，好有佢自己一道睇法啦。讲到呢度，我哋不如系休息一阵先。嗱，我哋咧拣一首歌送俾 Andre 咧，希望佢可以。即大家一路聽的時候也都幾反映到他生活的這份的歷程和那份深度。
Now I've heard there was a secret chord that David played and it pleased the Lord, but you don't really care for music, do you? It goes like this, the fourth, the fifthThe minor fall, the major lift, the baffled king composing hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
By Leonard Cohen, you're listening to FEBC Soul Radio. Andre, 想问下你咧，喺个纪录片里面咧，即系都见到咧，你喺战后想揾好多嘅工作吓，咁但系当你一提过喺个 CV 度咧，讲你系曾经喺 Buchenwald 嘅集中营咧，就冇人请你啊，咁所以一定要保持沉默。呢个对你嘅人际关系同埋身份认同。即係因為一講親你去集中營係有呢個經歷嘅時候咧，其實當時大家有白眼你啊，或者唔肯請你啊，對你嗰個身份認同感有冇啲咩影響嘅咧 ？So Andre, from the documentary about you that Hannes made, you mentioned that you had to keep silent about your past after the war in order to find work. Sad to hear that, but how did that affect your relationship and sense of identity?
Yeah, the only thing he can say, because he could never voice it to basically anyone, until like the 2000s, which is basically, right, almost 60 years. And that had a detrimental influence on, and there's a very good question on his very identity, right, because it was part of
Ведь я работал и ни с кем не мог общаться, не мог ничего рассказать.
Yeah, and he worked and interacted with people, but he could never tell anybody about it.
Not even his children.
Поэтому меня это угнетало.
And that's why this was really bringing him down a lot. И даже вашим детям вы не говорили?
Не говорил.
And even his, he didn't tell his children.
Oh, wow. Okay. 咁啊 ，Andre 佢提到咧，佢话咧，其实咧，因为战后啊，唔单止系话揾工，唔提到佢以前系关过集中营。佢话其实系冇任何嘅时候咧，佢系可以同人讲佢喺集中营里面有过呢个咁惨痛嘅经历。嗱，佢就系七岁啦，其实佢系去到2000年打后啊，都系嗰段期间都系咁多年都系，即系讲2000年之前啊，佢都系冇同任何人讲过，包括佢啲仔女啊，系呢一个系埋藏喺佢心里面嘅秘密嚟嘅，咁所以呢个当然系影响到佢个 identity， 佢提到啊，即系佢嗰个身份，因为佢系好痛苦嘅，好惨嘅，因为系一路都唔可以同人讲啊，讲过佢呢段嘅经历，所以佢亦都唔想讲啊咁。At the end, motivated you, Andre, to finally open up then. You said you're now 97, it was not until the 2000s that you finally talked about it. But what made you finally open up about your past? 點解既然係咁靜啦，點解隔咗咁多年而家先乜嘢令到佢喺2000年嘅時候大概開始講你喺集中營嘅過去呢？
So basically it all started 1998-2000 when the Germans basically officially said sorry for all the things they had done in the sense that they were also compensating all the prisoners, forced laborers, so everybody that was basically a victim of the Holocaust and was still alive. And it was like in three categories. So those who were basically drawn into forced labor work on the territory of the Soviet Union, they received €2,500. Those who were forced laborers within the territory of Germany received €5,000. And those who were like imprisoned in German concentration camps, they received €7,500. And importantly, they invited us. So we were basically registered, so that was officially recognized. And since that time, we are invited every year to go to Buchenwald, to go to Weimar, and to commemorate the liberation of the camp together with other prisoners and to, well, and to have the attention, basically, of the Germans acknowledging what they had done. So this is the initial point, or this was the initial point.
Ah, I see. 咁我剛才提到呢就係話喺大概1998-2000年嘅時候呢，因為德國政府呢特別進一步呢對於 forced labor, 即係呢個勞工呢個被壓迫嘅做苦工嘅呢一批嘅幸存者啦，包括送去集中營嘅唔同人呢，亦都有一啲賠償，無論當時係你係俄國嘅身份啊，喺戰時咁呢都係進一步呢亦都安排呢係有一個嘅悼念活動呢喺 Buchenwald, 就每一年呢都進行嘅，因為佢有 register咗下，即系话咧，佢系喺嗰个名单里面啦。咁所以佢就开始咧，系每一年咧，就系去呢个 Buchenwald 啦。咁啊，咁样系由呢一刻系嗰度咁样去开始嘅。But from Andre, from being totally silent, not even disclosing your Buchenwald camp experience to your children, to finally opening up and finally going to Buchenwald every now and then, how has it been for you?To share your story, was it very difficult?
После того многие.
It's not difficult, and basically, right after this, even I was invited very often. Also he was invited very often to local schools, even to universities, and he had also brought from Weimar, from Buchenwald, some documentation, some photos, etc. So he took these materials with him. And gave young people a perspective on history. But he also has to say that from Belarusian side, this basically since 5 years is not happening so intensive anymore for some reason.
I see. 剛才我就問到Andre 呢，就話佢又完全唔講呢段歷史，包括家人都唔講，即係屈咗喺心裏面咁耐，到真係講出嚟啦，分享佢個故事啦，有啲咩感受呢，難唔難呢開口呢？咁佢話佢唔難開口嘅，又甚至乎呢佢亦都呢被邀請去唔同嘅學校去講啦， 咁啊，包括咗佢個空餐喺呢個白俄羅斯嗰度咧，去學校嗰度咧，去講關於喺布痕湖嘅經歷嘅時候咧，佢都係好樂意去講，好樂意去講出嗰、那個就反而唔係有令佢有難度啊，去分享啊咁樣。好啦，咁我都想問一下阿 Andre 咧，就特別佢頭先提到啦，即係一路係戰後咧，從佢紀錄片裏面咧都見到佢一個好開心嘅人啦，好嘗試咧係好樂觀嘅，甚至乎同人講話咧要係要和善善良嘅。其實呢一份樂觀嘅性格喺戰後咧睇從紀錄片睇到咧，佢都好正面，好唔放棄啊。其實係咪天生嘅咧？定係有啲乜嘢令到佢係有呢個嘅性格嘅咧？甚至乎佢想我哋從佢個故事裏面係。可以得到啲乜嘢咧？咁 ，So Hannes, while you were sharing Andre's story, you mentioned that his life principles has always been be kind, and as you always describe him as exceptionally optimistic. I'm curious from watching your documentary on Andre. He always tried to be happy, super happy. There was no negative emotions being shown on the screen. Would Andre think this exceptional?Optimism, was it inborn, or could we learn from him?
When he was a teenager, right, he lost his father and his mother, and also after the camp, he was put into army, so he served 6 years in the army, and when he was released from army, he was free, but in a way, he was also completely alone.And somehow he says that maybe this is really something that was given him by nature because he had always this urge not only to work but also to develop himself and he says this never left him. So until this point, 98 years, he is eager to experience new things, to learn every day,and to be interested in the world and to meet people. And this is something that is partly, it might be partly inborn, but also through the experience in his early ages, losing mom and dad, plus being left alone also after the camp, he always additionally like forced himself into that in a way.
Wow.
Yeah,
哇，咁啊，特別咧提到阿 Andre 咧，就係話佢因為 teenager 即係咧年少嘅時候咧，少年時期咧就冇咗爸爸媽媽。咁尤其是咧喺集中營嘅，即使喺集中營解放咗出咗嚟之後咧，亦都有六年嘅時間咧，就係當兵啊，就是、被編排咗入去軍隊啊，捉咗入去軍隊嗰度繼續當兵。咁當完兵出咗嚟之後咧，佢一方面係自由啊，但亦都方面咧，佢話咧就好 alone， 即係話咧好孤單啊。咁所以咧要靠自己去發展自己，因為冇曬親人啊，嗰陣時家人都冇曬，喺軍隊出翻嚟之後，自己一個咁點存活咧？咁佢就想嘗試下探索呢個世界，嘗試新嘅嘢啦，嘗試下呢個世界，因為都最後都因為佢畢竟得翻自己一個，佢話呢樣嘢係唔係天生嘅咧？佢亦都有可能一啲係天生，但係更多可能係個經驗塑造到佢咧，係要去自己咯。自己咯，去探索呢個世界生存咯。咁所以咧，因為佢好想接觸呢個世界，認識多啲呢個世界，係令到佢咧係有呢份嘅自信同埋咧樂觀感嘅。
He's already a pensioner since 35 years. Despite of that, 1st of April until very late in autumn, he's basically full time working in his summer house in Russian called Dacha.Where he grows vegetable, potatoes, everything. So he's basically supplying his own food.
Wow.
this is one thing. And at the same time, he's still, well, apart from this physical, kind of trying to motivate himself by basically hard work. He is subscribed to 2 newspapers and 3 magazines. And he's trying to basically get a very...broad insight of knowledge that is available, and sometimes it's even too much, and he doesn't manage to read it all, but he tries.
I just thought that may be your secret source of keeping so intellectually sharp at your age. 雖然呢他已經是退休三十幾年了已經。咁但係呢他首先呢就每逢每一年嘅四月頭呢到秋天呢他依然呢係喺好忙碌於呢喺佢個農喺佢個後院嗰度呢不斷呢就係種食物呢自給自足嘅。佢係自己種食物俾自己嘅。咁每年呢都係農務嗰方面呢就係呢啲 hard work 都係繼續嘅。咁唔單止係佢個身體上嗰個體力上喎佢依然呢係好有動力呢係每個禮拜呢兩份報紙三本雜誌。一路呢就係有時睇唔晒添就係好忙碌咁呢佢想認識多啲知道呢個世界發生咩事周圍嘅文化發生咩事所以唔單止係努力係耕種自給自足食物精神上每日就係睇多啲資訊雜誌報紙了解呢個世界發生嘅事到佢97歲依然係做緊呢樣嘢。No. Andre, as we know.
Just one addition, because this is how we met each other. No, because when I was living in Belarus, I was participating in a project where they were learning German, or they were taught German. Because he's going to Germany every year, and he wants to talk to the youth, right, in German. And he's an engineer, so he tries to understand language with every grammatical detail or whatsoever, and that's why we started to basically learn German aside of this language courses. And that gave me a hard time, because he wanted to do it every day and to the deepest detail, and he was really torturing me with millions of questions. And now he's living at my place, and in the morning when I stand up, I'm completely like tired getting a coffee. He's already sitting in his room reading. In the evening, he's still like sitting there singing, trying to sing German songs, reciting German poems. And it's just hilarious.
Well, not because he had more coffee than you. What was his secret?
I don't know.
Amazing. Okay, I got to explain this to the audience. Hannes 呢講話點樣認識Andre 呢亦都其實呢呢個故事都好有趣。即係話呢因為Hannes 當時教緊德文嘅即係佢係喺Belarus 嘅時候呢喺白俄羅斯呢認識Andre 啦。咁因為呢Andre 當時呢每一年都係德國。咁因為呢佢要即係參加嗰啲悼念活動等等啦。咁所以呢佢好想呢自己學好個德文。因為德文佢係唔識德文嘛本身。佢想學好德文呢咁去到德國即係參加悼念活動嘅時候佢可以同人溝通。咁佢自己Andre 後來呢係做咗個 engineer。咁佢就好想呢學嗰種語言嗰種 grammar, 嗰種文法呢係學到好仔細。仔細到呢問到篤嘅。即係打爛沙盤真係問到篤啦學文法嘅時候德文文法嘅時候。所以Hannes 有時呢佢教佢德文都好頭痛。因為佢未知道呢所有嘢都問佢即使呢今時今日呢呢段期間Hannes 就招呼Andre 嚟香港啦佢呢每一日呢佢屋企住嘅時候呢第一起身呢佢就已經有好多一個問題老年嚟嘅問好多呢好好奇嘅問題咁佢當佢朝頭早啊 Hannes 未飲咖啡之前呢已經呢嘩睇緊報紙啊了解世界大事啊問好多問題記住喎 Andre 係97歲
I had nightmares, I would say for a couple of months, you know, waking up thinking that I'm still in the camps.
When I came home in the afternoon, I had already became an orphan. There was a massacre. I had no family.
Never seen a place like that before. And as I turned around, I realized that my father and my two older sisters were gone.Never saw them again. We were holding on to mother for dear life.
你对生命有咩睇法？
佢对生命有深刻嘅体会。
你行紧一条点样嘅路呢？
佢走过时代嘅巨轮，行过一条崎岖不平嘅人生路。
So Radio, So Podcast 为你呈现
生命专访特辑。
On the lead.不再遗憾的路程
Andre, now you're in Hong Kong, you want to know about the world, you have been reading the news, as Hannes mentioned that, you know, before the morning coffee, you have been studying about Hong Kong already. In recent months, Hong Kong has been seeing many suicide cases, including the youths. When you read about the suicide cases in Hong Kong, some of them may be listening to your show right now, listening to your interview right now, that they were so disappointed in life. They felt a hopelessness. If there were such listeners who are listening to you at the very moment right now, what would you like to speak to them? 如果現在聽緊心機旁邊的你亦都是很失望的對於生命，因為呢過去呢這幾個月香港有很多自殺的個案，無論是學校的壓力、家庭的壓力，很多生命的即不開心，如果是講到是很絕望，如果聽緊的朋友生命是很絕望的，覺得你有什麼訊息想講給他們聽呢？ If they're listening right now。
So what he says, basically, this phenomenon he observes actually around many places, also where he's from, where people are jumping like from buildings, nine floor high buildings, and they're just jumping off. And there is nothing that he can recommend, but he observes that basically the world today is so fast paced and everybody's under a lot, especially the young people, under immense stress, and they are also living only in the very moment, and that's why when they are desperate in this very moment, they don't have anything positive to fall back, basically, and be confident, and they are just so much into this current situation, also social media, etc., which makes it difficult. And now I said he should think maybe about some reflections on that and what could be his thoughts or recommendations. Какие у вас рекомендации?
Любое расстройство не только молодого человека, а любого взрослого.
A lot of things that he also knows happens with adults, especially where he's coming from. Just an example where somebody committed a traffic accident and then basically killing himself because he was guilty of killing his children, for instance, etc.
Wow.
Just one tip. Yeah, so there's only one recommendation I can give, and this is basically the notion that you have only one life, so there is no other life than the life you currently have, that there's always a tomorrow, and that you basically, when you are today in a very difficult situation, then you just, as hard as it gets, need to get yourself together or get some help to at least make it to the next day, and then from this day to the next day, and to kind of preserve your life with a aspiration that things will get better.
Wow.
Жизнь одна.
Life, we only have one life.
И поэтому ее надо проживать, а не заниматься самоубийством.
And that's why you need to live this life and not kill yourself.
咁啊，头先咧，Andre 就话咧，自杀咧，其实当然唔系就香港啦，喺佢身邊的地方見過的很多的環境，他們的身邊的環境都有很多的自殺的個案，譬如八九樓啊咁跳下來啊咁。當然他講八九樓，因為他們的地方個高樓大廈沒有我們那麼多啦。咁他有提到呢，他說他觀察到呢，是的，他過去這個幾月在香港的時候，香港是一個急速很快的城市，好多壓力啊，見到身邊的人都啊。好重要就是說，為什麼很多時佢身邊認識嘅人有啲，譬如話可能係佢見到有交通意外，家人都死曬咁得返佢自己一個，咁嗰個人都即係自尋短見啦。咁好多時佢身邊人如果真係有呢一種嘅情況，就是、因為佢係淨係着眼喺眼前嗰一刻，淨係喺眼前嗰個 very moment， 而佢話喺嗰個情況裏面呢，佢離唔開呀，佢冇嗰個信心可以離開嗰、那個嗰一刻眼前嗰個嘅絕望感。佢話因為佢所有嘅精力，所有嘅 attention 都落咗喺嗰一刻嗰度，嗰一刻絕望嗰刻度，佢冇抽離到，佢冇信心可以離開到。而佢話佢如果真係要俾一個嘅 tips 分享，佢真係要想同大家分享，就係話你最起碼做嘅就係話咁啊，你盡你所有嘅力去到第二日先啦，將你嘅精力 摆喺留喺多一日啦，摆喺第二日啦，第二日又摆去第二日啦。佢话生命咧，你只系得一个生命，但系如果你尽你嘅力，最起码去到 next day 第二日嘅时候，有时个光就可能喺第二日出现。所以唔系话即系好大嘅，即系想要你要做嘢，起码你撑到第二日先。佢呢个就我想俾你嘅 tip， 因为生命嘅光咧就可能喺第二日发生。休息之前咧，想问一问啊 Andre 咧，嗱，你就提到咧，你就好感到满足啊，感激有机会咧喺晚年咧去睇呢个世界啦。因为人生你好长时间都冇离开过系 Minsk 嘅白俄罗斯。今次嚟到香港，对你嚟讲最意义最大嘅系咩地方咧 ？Okay, before we take a break, you mentioned Andre that you feel content and grateful for the opportunity to see the world. You keep want to know about the world through newspaper, magazine.See, now you're traveling. It's fantastic you're in Hong Kong with us at the moment. So for your trip in Hong Kong, what traveling to Hong Kong have meant most to you?
Yeah, so basically, he says that after the Second World War, there was no day without a war going on.At least somewhere around the world.
Mm.
And also coming from his country, in a way difficult. And of course he cannot fully judge, but being here, he thinks that this is basically, for him, paradise on earth. You know? And I can add here that it's the first time he's actually really traveling in his life.
Mm.
So it really means a lot to him. And he says...that he would hope that people here, because he has heard also about what happened a few years ago, that people here are happy and they basically enjoy the beauties of this city, which again he calls a paradise on earth.
咁Andre 提到咧，因为喺二战之后啊，其实咧世界上系冇一个地方咧，即系可以话。其實戰爭應該冇停過啊，即係大大小小嘅 conflict 啊、戰爭啊，都喺世界上係發生嘅啊，即係其實係冇一刻喺地球咧係有一個即係叫做完全靜止戰爭嘅時候，總係有一時一地咧係有戰爭有呢個 conflict 係發生緊。咁佢話咧，其實咧Hannes 都提到咧，今次其實咧係Andre 咧第一次人生係離開真係叫個 food 一個係一個長時間嘅 travel， 真係離開咗佢個住開嘅國家。對他來說在香港好像一個 paradise， 因為他真的沒有離開過他住開的地方，見到世界的美，原來有不同的文化又這樣，去到一個異域，是一個文化。說到 paradise， 有一首歌想送給 Andre 的，那就轉頭回來跟 Hannes 聊天。
Imagine there's no heaven It's easy if you tryOnly sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard.To kill or die for, and no religion too. Imagine all the people living life in peace. You may say.I wonder if you can but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world.
Now, after this song that promotes peace, unity, and hope for a better world, we're now moving on to Hannes. Wow, thank you, Hannes. First of all, you told us so much about Andre's life, and your documentary is itself a fantastic testimony of how much one life can achieve. What inspired you in the very first place to make a documentary about Andre's life? Some of the Hannes that Joy Chaw 點解會諗到為 Andre 拍一套生活嘅紀錄片呢？
Yeah, well, this is different aspects. So basically now I'm 42 years old. I'm in Hong Kong since almost 2 years.
Welcome to the 40s club, by the way.
Yeah, by the way, same age. Same year, right? So when I was 19, basically, I was living in Bavaria, didn't see a lot. And after school, when I was 19, I needed to go to army, didn't want to. But also didn't want to do civil service, and there was a possibility to do a civil service abroad back in the days. And for some coincidence, although I wanted to go to France to have a good time, I got an assignment to Poland, to a city called Krakow, beautiful city, that was before Poland got into the European Union. So it was a little bit wild still. And next to Krakow actually was the biggest extermination camp of the Nazis, called Auschwitz, Oświęcim in Polish. And our task was, we took care of the last survivors of Auschwitz. And that was like now 23 years ago. And, well, back in the days, we were already told this is one of the last survivors, which was to us, of course, a bit abstract, but still. And this was, of course, one of the most meaningful experiences that I made so far in my life. And actually, I would say all my life was shaped by this experience. And I was basically, after this, staying in the region. I lived in Ukraine for a long time. I lived in Belarus for a long time, over 5 years. And I lived in Russia before I came to Hong Kong for 6 years. And this topic never left me, actually. And when I was living in Minsk, that was some 12 years ago, there was actually a coincidence that I met with Andre. But, of course, when I was 19... I wanted to portray some of these stories, and I want to capture this, but I felt I didn't have the capacity, maybe intellectually, or I didn't know the right people. And I always worked in my life as a generalist, so I'm not a particularly good musician, I'm not a filmmaker, I'm not necessarily a good in any particular subject.
But you also knew a bit of everything.
A little bit of everything, yeah. I managed to bring people together. So when I met Andre, I was completely fascinated by him. And I happened to know a cameraman in Belarus. I happened to know somebody who composed a little bit of music, could do some editing. And I just said, like, let's have a coffee with Andre and let's think about what this could actually end up with. And we all understood that there is no way this can be portrayed via a photo book or some kind of article or website or whatever. We really need to make a movie. And yeah, that's what we ended up with, basically. Without any funding, we just got a camera, accompanied him for 1.5 years, and then gradually we collected a lot of material, a lot of footage, and yeah, and then it was still a process of 5 years until we really had a film. Because when you are not from the industry, nobody is waiting for you, right? Nobody gives you any money. You have no credits whatsoever. So that was actually a really dire road. And now we're sitting with you on this radio show, which is cool.
Wow. thank you. But, wow, what a fascinating story. So you were, in a sense, an accidental documentary filmmaker, but...
Yeah, totally.
But you managed to get the best videographer also for the film. So, wow, I guess this is how, while you were working on a meaningful project, everything would pull together. And let me just explain a bit to our audience. 咁啊，頭先提到咧，就係19歲嘅時候咧，咁啊，佢今年42歲啊，同我一年出世啊，先講緊講笑。咁咧，佢咧就喺19歲嘅時候咧，佢咧就係已經係就接觸啊呢一個大屠殺、猶太大屠殺呢個嘅題目啦嚇。咁當時納粹大屠殺咧，佢係因為咧佢係一次嘅機會咧，就派到去波蘭嘅，咁啊 Krakow 呢個地方，咁啊有集中營啦嚇，咁大家知道啦，奧斯威辛集中營都喺波蘭，咁啊當時咧佢哋就係喺年青嘅時候咧，已經就被派住去做義工嘅時候咧，已經啲人同佢講話咧，啊呢批係 last survivors， 即係話咧最後嘅一批幸存者。咁佢當時呢個概念都有啲模糊啊，即係點樣為之叫最後一批幸存者？因為佢哋啲年紀開始慢慢大、慢慢老，咁講緊其實都係講二十年前啦。咁所以佢話咧，當時咧佢就一路咧都係好想係做一啲嘢，甚至乎佢個生命咧都係俾當時啊呢一度接觸猶太大屠殺、接觸猶太人呢個包括有啲非猶太人啦，即係比如似阿 Andre 嘅例子，佢哋經歷嘅嘢喺納粹集中營經歷嘅嘢咧係好震撼嚇，甚至乎影響咗佢一生嘅嚇。咁所以後來咧，無論佢被派住到去白俄羅斯啊，被派住到去呢個 Russia 嚇，再嚟到香港咧，咁佢都係冇離開過呢、這個即係關心呢一個嘅題目或者生命咧，係俾呢樣嘢即係影響啊咁。咁所以咧，佢一路不過佢19歲嘅時候咧，都想做一啲嘢，譬如一套紀錄片啊，或者一啲人想記錄低呢啲嘢。不過佢話佢係一個咧，即係 generalist， 即係意思話咧，佢樣樣嘢都有涉獵，但佢冇樣嘢精嘅。包括即係佢亦都唔係一個即係紀錄片嘅拍攝嘅導演專家咁。不過就佢有呢份心，咁啊見到。遇到好多唔同嘅人，咁不如我咁後來直至到遇到 Andre， 不如話去同佢飲杯咖啡啊，即係想了解多啲佢嘅故事。咁一拍即合咧，就好多人一齊參與，就拍成咗呢套嘅紀錄片《Ya Andre Ivanovich》呢套紀錄片。咁即係等於係叫做 Yes 嚇安德烈咁。呢個紀錄片其實喺呢個過程當中啊，想拍關於阿 Andre 嗰個嘅戰爭時候嘅經歷啦，頭先上半部大家聽咗啦，或者係佢人生一啲嘅態度啦。咁其實喺準備呢個紀錄片嘅時候咧，有啲咩令佢最驚訝或者係最影響到佢咧？喺成個嘅拍攝過程當中 ，So Hannes， the documentary film itself is quite a miracle， as I think you wouldn't disagree with that。So what was most surprising or most impactful thing you learned during the process of making the film?
Wow, that's a very good question. Well, one thing was that you really can have a fulfilled sex life when you are over 90, which I found quite impressive. He was really openly talking about it, so that's why I also can talk about it.
Yeah.
There is no taboo, hopefully also not in Hong Kong.
No.
sex is very good. But... Well, I mean, of course, there is always a personal aspect of it. It was not only like, it was not, my approach was not that I wanted to make a film about a Holocaust survivor. And this, I think, although the film is not from a professional point of view, it has some flaws, basically. We're all amateurs. But it's interesting, I think, in some aspects because it was made about... from somebody who has a very good friend and he wanted to portray this friend.
Ah.
And this friend, in this case, Andre, managed to fully open up, yeah, because we had no time constraints. We had no deadlines. And this is also what I'm a bit struggling with in the film industry. Of course, you need to have a goal, you need to have a storyline, you have a deadline, you have somebody who gives you money. For this project, this was all absent. Okay, so there was no ultimate goal of anything, basically. And that's why something evolved that is basically very, very intimate in a way. And for some also maybe boring, because he was always telling me, why would you do that? Why would you just film me with me doing just some usual stuff, right? I mean, gardening or whatever. But in a way, for me, everything he does is exceptional because he's an exceptional person and not because he has been in a concentration camp, just because he is the person he is. And unfortunately, hopefully some of this voice transpires this over the, the ether, but if you meet him personally, of course, he's energetic, he's lovable, he's funny. and this at this age is just super impressive. And that's why it made it also easy. All the people who met him just were enthusiastic about it.
So you never had doubt during the whole process?
No, I had a lot of doubts. I mean,
others, he may have been wondering, but you, why are you making a film? But you have no doubt at all.
I had doubts because I had no money to actually finance that, and I had doubts whether somebody would like to watch it. But at this moment, I didn't really care about it. Just I wanted to just have some footage.
No. I have to say, you know, at least I can speak for myself who watch it as an audience, that it's definitely. Inspiring, and I cannot agree with you more that Andre's life is exceptional on many fronts. So let me just explain it, but that is interesting to start with sex life. 咁啊，先啦 ，Andre 系到咧，就系话，Hannes 嚟到咧，就话 Andre 咧，首先对于嚟讲最震撼第一样嘢嘅事咧，就系话一个即系讲老年嘅性生活，即系讲一个90岁以上嘅时候，即系。 佢咁 open 啊，佢咁 open 講，咁紀錄片裏面都有提到，咁當然佢自己亦都當然冇咁忌嘅。不過意思話，咦，即係原來係一個90歲嘅老人家咧，佢嗰個係都會係保持性生活有呢份嘅動力咧。呢個首先佢震撼咗佢嗰個嘅視野同境界先啦。呢個好有好特別啊！咁提到呢樣嘢，咁啊到紀錄片如果有興趣裏面咧，都提到。 Before I go on the translation, I'll just mention that for those who would like to know more about the sex life aspect, watch the documentary.
That's
what I was mentioning. Hannes就話咧，佢拍呢個紀錄片咧就唔係最初係諗住係關於一個嘅集中營嘅幸存者嘅。其實佢最因為咧嗱，老實講，集中營嘅幸存者嘅紀錄片其實都有好多啦。咁亦都佢亦都唔係一個導演係咪？咁佢都係一個即係amateur，即係意思話係佢唔係一個即係專門拍攝。 電影嘅導演，所以咧佢係好多瑕疵嘅。其實個紀錄片本身，不過最初拍嘅時候，Andre都問佢：咦，點解你會拍我啊？有啲咩咁好拍？拍佢嘅日常生活啊等等。但係正正就係因為佢話，依一個，因為佢嘅人係好特殊啊。其實係 Andre 嘅人嘅生命觀啊，係佢睇嘢嘅方式啊，甚至乎係一個唔單止係好有趣、好可愛嘅人，而係一個。 係有啲人形容佢係無可救藥地樂觀啊！即係睇佢好多嘢都係樂觀到係不得了啊！咁所以好想記錄佢喺一個冇錢、冇資金、冇嘢去拍攝嘅情況之下咧，佢係參與咗嚇，即係去做呢一個嘅紀錄片嘅。
I still recall that in the I think for those who watched the film, one would question where did Andre's exceptional optimism come from? Is it because of his wartime experience? Is what he went through in the camp, or that has nothing to do with it? Because that is actually came from his quality, even from before the wartime. I know the film was not about seeking an answer of that, but do you have a personal answer to that? 我想問一問 Andre 就係話，問 Hannes 就係話 Andre 咧喺個紀錄片裏面咧就好難知道佢嗰種即係無可救藥嘅樂觀係源於佢因為佢喺二戰經歷咗好多種種而悟出嚟嘅一個樂觀啦，定係佢本身嘅質地係咁樂觀，而佢只係只不過係帶住呢份質地去經歷戰爭、經歷呢一個二戰。
So
Hannes, I know the film does not provide that answer regarding where that exceptional optimism comes from, but do you have a personal answer to that?
So there is not the one answer, but another aspect of making anything is we are selfish people. And the selfishness factor in this was that basically I wanted to explore where this optimism comes from.
Yeah,
but I couldn't.
Good question.
Yeah, exactly. And this is the same, actually, for readers of the South China Morning Post that a journalist tried to find out 2 weeks ago on the longevity secrets of Andre, which will be published tomorrow, by the way. And there is no simple answer. Yeah, but I can tell you another thing. I can tell you, you can make as a human being every day. You can make a choice with what kind of people you're spending your life with. And I think this is the most important thing that basically influences on you. Yeah, and my parents, for instance, yeah, it was really difficult with them, and they were both alcoholics, and they had a very difficult childhood. And my explanation would be why I really enjoy being next to Andre, because he basically makes my life better. Yeah, and although I don't understand his secrets, and although I'm still sometimes much more grumpy than him, sometimes much more impatient than him, but I just feel that I really love spending time with him. And making a film about his life gave me the perfect excuse and opportunity to spend an abundant amount of time with him, basically, without understanding a secret or without me becoming much more wiser or something. But it's just very nice to be with good people, and I would say he's really a good person and a pleasant person to be with. And sometimes those people cannot be found within your family. And this is maybe also an answer to the audience, right? To your audience who are desperate, for instance, right? Who are finding themselves in family situations that seem very difficult and where an exit is very difficult. But sometimes, and this is, I can tell you from my experience, although this is your parents, although this is relatives, it's your choice with whom you spend your precious time, because life, in the essence, what is life? Life is about time, right? It's not about money, or it's not about crazy things you do. It's time. Yeah, that's the most precious thing. And of course, it's very important to surround yourself with good people. And this is basically one of the biggest learnings, actually, for me, from spending time with Andre.
So, Sim, you did find an answer.
For myself, maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why I feel, in a way, also privileged. Yeah.
Yes, indeed. If I get it correctly, you said alcoholism also impacted your family. Was that?
Yeah. Okay. My parents both died of alcohol.
I see. And hence that bond that you connected while you hear, I guess, from Andre's story. Wow. Again, let me convey that to the audience. So, 剛剛 Hannes 就話咧，其實佢一路聽 Andre 嘅故事，第一咧佢都好好奇，因為佢咁長壽啦嚇，即係97歲啦已經，亦都嗰日咧我同佢學校咧有機會咧見到佢，哇佢行Andre行樓梯咧係兩步兩步咁行，呢個佢嗰種即係好詫異佢嗰種 fitness 咁。 Hannes 就提到咧，首先咁當然好多人都嘗試去了解點解佢會咁長壽、咁無可救藥地樂觀啊。咁啊，南華早報咧啱啱都訪問咗佢咧，依兩日都會有個報導出嚟，就係想嘗試揾出冇一個簡單答案，但係點解佢會咁長壽，有冇啲 secret 咧？不過 Hannes 自己嘅參透就係話，首先選擇，因為我哋嘅時間每日係咁珍貴、咁有限，你點樣去選擇你過今日？你點樣選擇你同啲咩人喺一齊？ 你点选择去活出呢一分钟，其实系个选择嚟嘅。如果你选择，哇，今日你呢刻你点活呢？其实你系好 aware 嘅时候呢，呢个系一个好大嘅分别。包括咗 Hannes 话佢自己爸爸妈妈呢都系死于酗酒啊，所以当头先啊。 Andre 话佢自己两个仔有酗酒嘅问题咧，佢突然之间佢有种 connection， 亦都有啲提到点样每日嘅生活活得好啲。佢话有时佢自己都有一个好乐观嘅人，佢话佢自己都有情绪过啊 Andre， 即系话佢有时佢自己都会 grumpy 一啲，但系佢话 Andre 咧直情系每日就系哇好享受好。 活喺当下嗰种嘅生活当中，最后就系关于嗰个选择，你点样去选取呢一刻、呢一分钟，你点样活，点样去 make 呢个 choice， 呢个嚟讲先系对佢嚟讲系好重要咁样。When
I came home in the afternoon, I unfortunately had already became an orphan. There was a massacre. I had no family.
We had no opportunity to earn a living. I had no schooling. And there was a lot of propaganda demonstration against the Jews.
你对生命有咩睇法？
佢对生命有深刻嘅体会。
So Radio, So Podcast 为你呈现
生命专访特辑。
On the lead, 不再遗憾的路程。
Hannes, you talked about making choice with your precious time, whom to spend with. Live the moment, I assume, as so important. That's what you got from working with Andre. But for the documentary itself, what do you hope the documentary will convey to your audience? What impact do you hope it will have?
This changed over time, I have to say, and I have to say very sadly changed over time. So I can just tell you from a European perspective, yeah, when I was a teenager, when I went to Poland, I went to Lithuania, maybe some don't know this country, very small country, Baltic country, when I was studying, and this was when the European Union also integrated. It was increasing and there was this idea of democracy over the overarching principle, collaboration within Europe, etc. And what we see now basically is more of a disintegrative process, and this makes me very sad. This is when you look all around, not only Europe but also other countries, right? And especially because we are mostly in Germany showing this movie, and luckily now in Hong Kong, you see that the right-wing parties actually gain momentum, and I really don't like that. Yeah, and they are saying things that, and this was actually something we anticipated and we saw as a danger, but nobody really believed in that. We said like 20 years ago, if there would be no more witnesses alive, then what would happen actually with how history is taught, how people think about the Holocaust, etc. And I really see a danger that people tend to not negate, but actually to forget about it, to basically not appreciate the importance of the history lessons that should be learned, and that makes me really angry and sad. And sadness leads to passivity, so angriness actually helps me a bit in pursuing going with Andre to schools in Germany, to do more there, to engage in conversations with young people. And another plan we have with my friend Henrik, who is here today, that we would also like to shoot another documentary. We are currently shooting actually our talk here, Simon. This is very precious to us as well. Mm. And maybe we can also bring some positive stories out of Hong Kong into, out of Andre being also in Hong Kong, to the world, basically, right?
Indeed. Wow. 啱啱啊 Hannes 就提到咧，依个拍呢个纪录片有啲咩想传俾观众，有啲咩影响呢？吓，关于 Andre 嘅生命，佢都有随住时间去改变嘅。吓，因为咧最初咧，呢套纪录片咧主要都系德国播放啦。咁但系而家德国咧，见到今日嘅德国啦，右翼嘅抬头啦，吓右翼就更加有呢、这个momentum 啊，即系话咧右翼嗰个影响好大啊咁。咁而系担心咧吓呢一、这个反犹啊，或者系一啲呢种嘅种族歧视咧，系更加系固态复萌嘅。咁所以佢话，而家因为犹太大屠杀嘅幸存者，大屠杀嘅幸存者咧，系慢慢已经系一批一批已经离世啦。啊，佢哋都系同一时间离世，因为佢哋嗰个咁嘅年纪都系一个九啊几岁啊咁样。咁所以咧，佢话一班幸存者一离开咗之后咧，其实越嚟越啲人咧，其实佢系会选择系唔理啦，淡忘呢、这个大屠杀嘅惨痛嘅历史教训嘅。咁所以佢话咧，越系随着时间嘅流逝，系右翼嘅抬头，会唔会系越嚟越少人想再提起呢啲嘢？或者系忘记咗呢段历史？呢、这个令阿 Hannes 自己系好愤怒嘅，亦都好伤感嘅。咁所以佢而家趁阿 Andre 咧，仲系哇好有活力，系97岁，所以依然咧，佢下一站其实咧，佢今个礼拜咧就会再飞去德国，咁啊再去德国同啲学校啦，唔同嘅学生啦，系去继续讲二战嘅往事，吓、这个历史嘅教训，就希望呢一个历史唔会忘记。拍呢个纪录片嘅时候咧，呢一个感觉冇咁强，但系随住时间嘅流逝咧，呢个感觉咧系非常之强烈嘅。 such important and meaningful task indeed, as you bring him, Andre, to Germany for the next stop as well. So can you share with us a memorable moment or experience, if you really have to pick a memorable, most unforgettable point during the film, while working on the film? What would that moment be? What would that episode be?
Oh, God, they were really...
testing your memory.
Many, but... I mean, it's all tragic also, all the things that happen now in Belarus. And our cameraman, basically, with whom I established a real close connection, he was basically in prison and just recently released. And, well, he kind of fled into Germany. And we saw each other, actually, not long ago. And this was, like, not within the movie, but it was still in the context of the film, like how the film also managed to establish a community who is still connected. People we have been talking with, including politicians, including people from the NGO sector in different countries, who are really trying their very best, and as you do, Simon, with the Holocaust Center also, being very engaged in, in trying to offer formats for especially the young generation to not forget about the lessons learned from history. So this is basically something that this community will always stay with us, and this is something that actually is the most important thing.
You created a dialogue.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
And a life of its own.
Yeah. Mm. And that's why, I mean, there was a lot of funny moments, especially when Andre tried new things, and he's very eager to try basically anything he can get, right? I mean, recent example being, we're doing a lot of things the first time. So two weeks ago, he ate pizza for the first time. Or just when he arrived, we went to Temple Street, together with Henrik, by the way. And we ordered, like, Cantonese food, and of course they would bring sticks, and if you asked him for a fork, they would look at you, why a fork? And then so I said, like, okay, then I'll try with sticks. And he tried for 2 hours, and at the end made it happen, right? Which is completely adorable. So those kind of small things, actually, they are really fun to observe, and also fun to film, actually.
You brought him to the right street.
Yeah, exactly. Very, very nice.
Right. Okay. 咁啊 ，Hannes 就话咧，首先咧，即系拍呢个纪录片里面咧，有啲咩好难忘嘅时刻咧？佢特别提到咧，佢话有一个 community 啊，即系话咧，佢营造咗一个即系因为咧，佢要去走访唔同嘅即系社区，包括一啲NGO 啦，相关政治人物啦，虽然即系见咗好多有心人啊，即系包括咗佢提到，譬如香港咁啊，譬如我哋有犹太大屠杀中心咁，咁Hannes 覺得咧，一路去走訪唔同嘅人嘅時候咧，拍呢個紀錄片嘅時候咧，咦，全部有好多人。其實雖然話咧，頭先提到喺右翼嗰個抬頭嘅時候咧，歐洲右翼抬頭咧，可能好多人咧想無論係種族主義抬頭啊，或者係重新抬頭啊，或者好多人想忘記猶太大屠殺，但佢見到有咁多人依然啊咁有心去。想下一代年輕一代唔好遺忘呢段即係戰爭殘酷嘅歷史，佢話見到呢班有心人咧，係令佢係最難忘嘅嚇，即係依然有班有心人係想咧係教育下一代啊咁。咁啊，即使咧而家香港咧都拍緊另外一啲嘅footage 啦，希望咧可以咧係有一套另外一套紀錄片嘅作品啦。咁啊，最近咧就帶咗Andre 咧就去廟街啦，喺香港去廟街去探索啦，亦都第一次食 pizza 嚇，食呢個薄餅咧都係咧一個好。特別好難忘嘅一啲嘅體驗，一啲嘅經驗啊嚇。咁我想問下 Andre 咧，同 Hannes 咧，就話 Hannes 拍呢個紀錄片嘅時候咧，佢哋嘅關係一路拍呢個紀錄片，有冇啲咩即係轉變嚇變化咧咁 ？So Hannes, from the documentary, it's been several years ago since it was made, and since then, how has your relationship with Andre evolved since the making of the documentary?
Naja, the problem is we were a bit detached the last 1.5 years because I was in Hong Kong, and Well, I mean, we even did some events where we dialed him in via Skype and stuff. But of course, it's in pandemics. It was really a problem. Actually, he had also COVID during that time, and we were always trying to kind of communicate, but it was difficult. We were just shooting the other day at South Beach next to Repulse Bay on the south side of the island, Hong Kong Island, because this is the place actually, well, it's my, firstly, it's my favorite place, and secondly, it's the place where I firstly had the idea, and no, firstly, where I always try to call Andre, because this was kind of a ceremony, going to South Bay and calling Andre, and there I had also the idea to invite him to Hong Kong. And this was some 1.5 years ago. And back then it was really difficult. There was COVID and then many other things. But finally, I said, this winter, we need to make it happen. And I felt, I mean, of course, I'm very confident he will still live many years. Yeah. But he's 98 years yep. old. So you always also feel this urge of basically time is freaking running, right? And that's why I wanted to have him around me, and that's why we brought him here.
Basically. The other day at school, he was walking the staircase. He was walking every 2 steps if you're still.
Yeah, completely crazy, right? we filmed it as well.
Wow. Okay. First of all, kudos to your just do it approach, Hannes. 啱啱咧， Hannes 提到啦，即係話咧，其實咧，一路呢其實佢成日都希望可以同 Andre 有聯絡啦，即使阿 Hannes 被派住唔同嘅地方，不過呢，佢個年半呢，因為 Hannes 喺香港嘅，咁啊所以呢，比較少可以 contact 到阿 Andre， 有時可能係 Skype 啊等等啦，咁但係呢，都好少見，因為 Covid 因為疫情啊等等，咁不過呢，佢後來就發覺，咦佢喺有一次一路在思考嘅時候唔得，真係好需要希望可以帶 Andre 有機會等佢見識。 喺香港嚟到，佢幾艱難都即係帶佢嚟，咁啊，所以咧呢個 trip 咧，其實都計劃咗好耐，咁啊，因為亦都知道佢年紀，雖然佢覺得啦 ，Andre 咧應該仲可以活得更久嘅，不過都畢竟係嚟緊98歲啦，所以佢一希望千方百計咧都有咁方法咧，即係帶佢係嚟到香港嘅，咁啊可以無論係見唔同嘅地方啦，亦都同香港好多唔同嘅朋友去見面嘅。So kudos to you, Hannes, that now we're in the studio that we can chat with Andre. And I know with the documentary screening in Hong Kong, with Andre speaking to youngsters, people of different walks of life, to flashback, you know, for this journey, what do you think now are the most important lessons we all in Hong Kong or people around the world, next you will be in Germany, can learn from Andre's story? That how can we apply them to our own lives?
Yeah. Well, basically, the other day we were at an event at the Chinese University with students, and one student was asking Andre a very funny question. He said, like, when you would have the possibility to send an SMS to all the citizens of the world, and this SMS could contain around less than 10 words, what would be the words? And he was laughing, of course. I found it actually a very cool question. Mm. Would be even better if we could do that, actually. So he said, what did he say? Mir. And it's an interesting word because Mir in Russian means world and peace. Yeah? And if you say you want peace for the world, you say Mir Mira, which is very beautiful. But he said Mir Mir Mir, so I think in this sense he meant peace. Then he said love, and then he said mutual understanding between the nations. And I think this is more important than ever. And he's a good testimony for that, because at the end of the day he's also holding no grudges, although he has every right to hold grudges, especially towards the Germans. He took me into his life, which is also not for granted because I am German. Yeah, and this humbleness, this generosity, and this love towards love, and I would say love and interest towards everything he encounters, be it people, be it food, be it be it anything, is just adorable. And this is what I would say it's not, because I'm not convinced you can teach people a lot, right? But this is something leading by example, and that's why we also made the movie. Maybe when people see the movie and feel the way he sings and kind of try to understand it, I hope this would inspire them in a way.
Wow. Amazing, amazing. And in 10 words, eh? So let me just convey those words to our audience. 咁剛才呢, Hannes 就話呢其實啱啱最近佢咗中文大學香港中文大學呢就同一班學生傾偈 Andre。 咁呢有個學生問佢喎，佢話呢如果要對一班即係我哋嘅叫全球公民，如果只係得十個字，少過十個字要留低俾我哋，你想留低邊十個字俾我哋呢？咁佢都諗咗諗，笑一笑，和平啦。 即係講和，佢諗咗，誒 peace 重要啦，mutual understanding between nations， 國與國之間互相嘅理解啦，笑好重要啦，I'm teaching you Chinese word， 笑 means laughter。 笑，笑，係啦，笑，笑，laugh，咁啊，仲有呢個。 提到下就係嗰種interest， 即係話呢佢對interest，佢對好多嘢都好有好奇心，對於食物啦，特別係食物啦，對食物有好奇心，對唔同嘅文化有好奇心，好奇心，笑，互相嘅理解，和平，即係如果要留低有幾隻字嘅話，佢覺得今時今日嘅世界公民呢樣嘢好重要，好重要。佢話其實啦 ，Hannes 話呢。 Andre 其實佢可以係有好多份怨憤嘅，佢如果你話佢有怨，如果佢即係佢有無限嘅理由，值得有怨憤嘅，對於德國人，特別對於德國人啦，咁啊 Hannes 自己都德國人，但係佢話佢就係有呢份謙卑，有呢份嘅善良，係對於呢一個世界嘅。I still have two last questions for you, Andre. But before we move on to the very last 10 minutes of today's show, I have a song for not you, Andre, only, also to you, Hannes. Because from what you've done, a miracle and impeccable task you've done in the past few years to make this film, I think you both are champions. This song, We Are the Champions, for you both.
I paid my dues. Time after time, I've done my sentence, but committed no crime. And bad mistakes, I've made a few. I've had my share of bad kicks in my face, but I've come through.
No need to go home.
Our champions of life.
Amazing stories today, Andre Hannes. 我想問下佢哋兩個咧，其實特別問下 Andre 咧，如果經歷咗人生咁多嘅事情，經歷咗咁多啦喺人生裏面，係乜嘢導致到佢令到佢除咗剛才我哋一路講個樂觀之外，咁長壽咧，佢自己有冇覺得係有啲原因係解釋到佢呢個長壽咧 ？As someone who has lived through so much.Andre, what do you think has contributed to your longevity?
So, for a person who lives long, the main aspect is optimism, and especially the eagerness to maintain the optimism.
И заключается это в том, что нужно...
The overarching principles, or the underlying principles under the optimism is working and continuously learning and studying, but to the extent that is healthy to a person, not overdoing it, but doing it until the very last day of your life, basically. Never stopping, no matter how old you are.
It does so much magic.
And to the very dead. Yes.
So keeping you in the studio for 2 hours would help, I assume?
Der Schatz am Studio nad Vatschas hat auch помогает.
Da?
Okay, so 啱啱咧，点解个长寿嘅秘诀喺边咧？咁咧就Andre 提到啦，首先咧就长寿秘诀对佢嚟讲，第一乐观，唔单止系乐观，更重要系 eagerness to maintain optimism 嘅意思咧，即系话唔系净系乐观，而系话好你要坚持，你系好想追求呢份嘅乐观添。即系话第一系乐观，但系话你有呢个心想好渴望要维持追求拥抱呢份乐观，你有呢个 eagerness 啊，呢个先系更重要啊吓。咁呢个就系提到呢样嘢。咁但系嗰个乐观嘅背后系嚟自咩咧？就系嚟自工作啦。唔係話要 overdo， 即係話唔係要嘩即係工作狂咁，而係話適度地到去生命最後一日都係工作。嗰個工作即係意思話係維持個 active， 即係好活躍嘅，無論係繼續學習、繼續學新嘢、繼續保持呢份學習與工作好奇，就係呢一個即係咁我先講笑話，咦咁你今日嚟到直播室唔係正常一般訪問都係一個鐘內呀，我哋混咗啲直播室兩個鐘，一路同我哋傾偈，一路同呢個都係可能係一個長壽嘅秘訣當中呀。咁我都想問下 Andre 呢，97歲嘅高齡呢係點樣去保持個人咁活躍咁積極參與？你係想工作啫，但係有時工作都會攰㗎嘛，咁或者佢先保持嗰個性生活呀等等。喂，97歲真係唔係講少喎，即係你想有時工作都唔係你想就得㗎，佢點可以保持到呢？ Okay, I understand that you want to work, you know, keep engaged, you know, keep working as long as not overdoing it at 97 years old. But the question is,Where does the energy come from? Because one can easily get tired. That's why people retire sometimes, because, you know, the energy is not there. Or you talked about the sex life. And how can one stay active with the energy, including sex life, as 97 years old and without feeling tired?
Yeah.
Ну, я не могу. Я уже рассказал все, наверное.
Как это? He already said everything.
Как продержаться? Как продержаться?
He doesn't know.
А лет 10 назад почувствовал, что я их принимаю и плохо. И сейчас выписываю.
He's just like... he said 10 years ago he felt really bad and...And then the doctor prescribed him like 7 or 8 meds for different kind of problems and diseases.
Но я посмотрел, что они мне вредят.
And he really felt...
И подтверждение этому еще там...
It didn't help him, he felt even worse, And then he started to think and to listen a bit more to his body, to his inner kind of inner state of being. And it took him quite a while, but once then he decided he does not need to take all these pills anymore. And he's more now looking into growing his own herbs on the summer house. And he's more listening to his body and, yeah, and not really, well, he's in a way not really trusting this like school medicine to the fullest, right? Because it's a lot of chemistry after all. And that could be one of the explanations also.
And growing his own herbs is again working.
Лет 10 назад мне организм сам подсказывает.
Yeah, so he thinks the reason why he's living is that basically 10 years ago he really started to listen more to his body and not to doctors.
I see. And very interesting. 10年前呢，佢话咧佢身体咧觉得系好，有啲好多都唔妥啊。医生咧俾7种药、8种药佢咁咧都成日食好多药啊。因为医生话你呢度佢又唔妥，嗰度又唔妥咁。不过咧佢后来咧就想尝试下听多啲、聆听多啲佢自己嘅即系身体啦啊。咁啊或者佢个人亦都唱歌啊，开心啲、开朗啲，亦都聆听自己佢内心啊，同埋佢自己嘅身体啊多啲唔同嘅领域。咁咧就发觉，咦？咁佢就冇话即系食咁多药啊，因为佢觉得可能对食咁多药好似都冇乜用，或者对自己身体唔系咁好咁所以咧，佢就后来都系自己喺自己嘅花园种一啲嘅草药啦吓，即系佢唔系尽信吓，即系医药啊咁聆听多啲佢自己身体多啲咁佢可能呢、這、一个或者佢自己估啦吓，即系呢一个佢觉得呢一、這个佢。理論就覺得係咁樣，可能令到自己更加長壽啦。What any role that diet played in his health and longevity? That his daily diet?
Играет основную, самую основную роль.
So basically, nutrition plays the crucial role. And actually, 20 years ago, he felt worse than he feels now because he never paid attention to what he was eating.
Раньше я не обращал на это внимание.
Yeah, some 10 years ago, when he started listening more to his own body, stopped taking all this medicine, he basically made experiments on himself. Like, he's eating something. Yeah.
И как я говорю, 10 или может.
Could be anything. And then he's basically checking on his body, how his body is reacting. And then if he feels that his body is not receptive to one or the other nutrient, then he don't eat it anymore, doesn't eat it anymore. And is kind of, yeah, adapting to it.
Wow.
Лет 15 уже я не переедаю и кушаю разнообразную пищу понемногу.
And already like 10, 15 years, I never overeat. So I only eat until my stomach is like 80% full, roundabout. And I try to eat, although some things that I don't like, I avoid, but I try to eat very complex, right? I mean, eat everything a little bit.
Okay, I see what you mean. 咁先啊 ，Andre 就话咧，即系特别咧，佢系过去20年啊，以前咧就乜都食落肚吓，即系冇乜点样去理嘅，即系填饱肚就算啦。咁过去20年，佢话身体咧冇而家咁好啊。佢觉得当时就70几岁啦，佢觉得而家90几岁个身体仲好过70几岁嘅时候。咁点解咧？咁佢话都同佢后来做一样嘢有关。嗰样系做咗啲乜嘢咁唔同咧？就系、是、一路过去20年咧，佢开始有个变化，就系佢每食一样嘢咧，佢都感受下嗰样食咗落肚嘅嘢，佢会实验啊。佢试每样嘢摆咗落肚之后咧，佢嗰种营养嗰样嘢食对佢身体有啲点样嘅反应，点样嘅 reception 咧？咁佢食完之后，咦？佢觉得如果嗰样嘢系反应唔好嘅，咁佢咪唔食咧？即系佢食完之后，咦？佢感受到身体佢一种微妙嘅反应，咁佢就不断实验试下唔同食嘅嘢，咁佢摸出咗自己咧 有啲咩營養，食咗啲咩嘢對佢身體有種好嘅變化。咁另外一樣嘢就話咧，佢過去咧亦都係食八成飽嘅啫。不過咁食八成飽之餘咧，喺過去10至15年咧，佢乜嘢都會食啲嘅，即係話唔會話唔食乜嘢咁。佢嗰度又即係 as long as 佢對身體佢感受得佢有良好嘅chemistry 咧，佢又會食下呢樣又食下嗰樣咁，樣樣都會食少少嚇，咁唔會過分嘅即係偏食。咁佢當佢聆聽身體裡面嘅變化嘅時候咧，好離奇嘅。咁佢覺得佢自己嘅身體而家90幾歲咧，仲好過佢70幾歲嘅時候嘅。Wow, that's golden tips. That would very very interesting on diet. So Andre, Hannes, thank you so much. That's all the time we have today for this extended edition.
Yeah. Super extended.
Totally unexpected, as I thought it would start as a 60-minute special, but it turns out
160-minute
special. Wow. But thank you. That's the wealth, you know, of the information you left us today in the studio. So, Andre Hannes, thank you for joining us and sharing your stories. It's been an honor and a privilege. We hope that Andre's story has inspired and moved you as it has us. A big thank you to both of you for the time and openness, as well as to Hendrik and David behind the scene. Great to have you also today with us in this very special moment. As we wrap up today's special, 咁今日咧，我哋結束節目之前咧，特別請阿 Hannes 咧，我哋講起逆境，係難以想像嘅逆境，人類精神嘅挑戰。點樣活得長久？點樣活得有希望？咁咧有一首歌咧，阿 Hannes 咧想邀請佢彈奏俾大家聽。我哋嘅 studio 有個鋼琴喺度嘅。咁啊，講起咧唔同嘅文化啊，雖然我哋唔係大家講粵語講廣東話，亦都唔係講英文嚇。今日有俄文啊，咁有時候又撚咗幾句德文添。咁我哋都可以跨越文化咧，去了解深層多一啲嘅。I've never actually did an interview that crossed so many languages as today in this studio. Crossing languages, crossing cultures, crossing stories on different timelines in history. So I know as we wrap up today's special, we want to leave audience with to those who are still listening at this time with a sense of hope and resilience of foreign lands and peoples and how, you know, people of different cultures, even in the face of unimaginable adversity, that we hope we remember human spirit can prevail. So as we wrap up today's special, Hannes, may I ask you to play a song for us that I hope you've, think you've prepared. So what that piece of music you have in mind?
So need to translate from Andre that he's just... If you could see him, he's always like, he cannot believe how you handle this, Simon, chuckling between these languages and being super prepared. And he also doesn't understand that Cantonese is like Russian. You speak so fast and it's like one piece of sentence together without any breaks. And it's really impressive. So
thank
it was
you,
a pleasure having us today. And as I just saw a piano here, one of my favorite piano songs is from Robert Schumann.
Ah.
And the title you mentioned already is from Foreign Lands and People. It perfectly fits today. As it's Hong Kong and always the aircon is working very well. My fingers are quite cold, but we can give it a try. Thank you so much.
Pleasure. Yes, because studio always have strong air conditioning, but seems the room is full of fires.
Yeah, it's
so
true.
I'll pass it on to you, Hannes.
Okay, I will try.
Thank you.
Yeah, Andre, yeah, Hannes, yeah to life. Thank you for joining us. 多謝大家。
唔該 ，Thank you。
唔該。
有故事的聲音 ，Show Podcast。